Today on Abounding Grace.
You see, wherever God has for you in this world, whatever career path he has you on, whatever trade he has you, listen, it is solely for the purposes of glorifying God. That is the value of your trade. It's not your paycheck. It's not your title. As important as those are important. You can use them. But your trade is to connect you with people for the glory of God so that you can invest. God has put you in different places so you can connect with other people and be used mightily by him.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing.
Is your church going through a building project? Today on Abounding Grace, we look back to a building project that represented all the wrong things and was built on the wrong foundation. It was built in direct disobedience to God. Pastor Ed Taylor will attract our attention to chapter 11 of Genesis, which speaks to us about self-effort and full surrender.
Genesis chapter 11, I've entitled our Bible study, Self-Effort or Full Surrender. Self-effort or full surrender. And in our study last time, we learned how God's heart is for all the nations, all people groups, all languages, the entire world. And it seems like something we would all agree with, but many within Christianity limit the world in so many different ways, not allowing it to be what it is. And there's so many limitations that we place upon people in the love of God that God is continuing to wrest that away from us so that we will agree with him. His heart from the very beginning was for the world. And we studied in depth what's known as the Table of Nations. And that revealed some 70 families that repopulate the earth after the worldwide flood. And all the nations and the people we learn have come from one source, one common ancestor, Noah, and his sons. And we learn that there is a unity of humanity. That's factual. There's a common link of brotherhood that binds the human race together. And so now let's look now what this perversion of unity can happen with a twistedness and a twisted understanding of the unity in verse 1 of chapter 11. It says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. At the time, mankind is culturally unified. Unified in language, most likely Hebrew, in thought, and in ideas. You could say that this was a picture here in chapter 11 of this one world mentality. This is a picture very early on in creation of a oneness. And today we have the advent of the United Nations and a great emphasis upon globalism. And many today believe that the whole goal of humanity is that the earth be unified. And that's exactly where we're headed. Now, of course, many today in government and those that are in leadership, those that might be billionaires and trillionaires, think that they're coming up with something new, as if they invented it. But they're actually being used by the demonic forces to bring about what God has already predicted the last days will look like. And yet they speak about it like it's some new thing. You remember years ago, they came together and they sang that song, We Are the World. But remember, when the world is defined, there's always people that benefit and there are those that suffer. The we are the world is never for the equal benefit of all. There are always one of the scriptures in Revelation, I should have looked it up, but one of the scriptures that always fascinated me from the very first time I ever read Revelation as a new believer, that while all of this judgment is coming, and while all this rebellion is happening, and literally hailstones and fire and judgment is happening, there is a passage of scripture in Revelation that speaks about the world rulers, or at least a few of the world rulers, are there with the wine and the oil. And what is intended by that passage is to remind us that even in the midst of the worst judgment, there will still be those living in luxury as if nothing ever happened. And this is the days of Noah, and these are the days that we are living in right now. And it's a popular theme. You'll hear phrases today like the Great Reset. You'll hear words like globalism. You have gathering annually at the World Economic Forum. This stuff is real, and it's happening right before our eyes. However, it is a perverted form of unity. And the word perverted in its original definition just means twisted. It is a perverted form of unity that is not the type of unity that's spoken of in the scriptures. So don't be confused because they use the same language. Biblical unity is found alone in Jesus Christ. The pathway to unity is the pathway of discipleship. And the pathway of discipleship was defined for us by Jesus. If anyone wants to follow after me, Jesus said, he must first deny himself. That is not the unity you see in the world today, and that's not the unity we see here in Genesis chapter 11. The motivation of building this tower was to become God and to be in the place of God. The motivation of building the city and building the tower was against God. And it came in two different stages. Now, let me just say here, as we speak about cities and large populations, let me be very clear. God is not against cities. He isn't anti-city. He loves cities and especially loves the people that live in them. In fact, in the Bible, we are taught that there is a new Jerusalem, the city of God that will be here for all eternity. Cities, both large and small, and especially large cities, actually become a hub of ministry. It becomes the very central hub where from large cities, the spokes come out, from large populations, large resources, so that the gospel goes forward from cities. You'll see as we study through the book of Acts that Paul would often, his methodology was to go into a big city and plant a church, and that church would grow and send out pastors and missionaries from the resources that were in the larger city. So he's not against cities, but I can say that he is against rebellion, and God is against pride and arrogance. And we find a great contrast in chapter 11, an important one. The Tower of Babel is built as men are gathering in cities, building great buildings, and literally creating memorials for themselves. But then when we get to chapter 12, notice with me, we're going to spend a couple weeks in chapter 12, but for today, I want you to see the contrast between 11 and 12. While in Babel, or later Babylon, with Nimrod, as he's gathering together, they want to build something for themselves. But notice the call to the father of faith in verse 1. God speaks directly to Abram at the time, and he has this relational communication with him. And what does he tell them? He wants, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And God has something greater than cities. He says, I'm going to make you a great, do you notice it? Nation. God has a greater plan. You might be stuck in this moment right now saying, this is for me, and this is what I want to build, and this is what I want to collect, and this is what I want to do, and we're going to do it for us. And you're so confident. And all the while, God has so much more for you. It's sort of like the understanding that sometimes our children have. They have a limited understanding when they're younger. They just don't grasp the kind of resources and availability of things that are available to them through obedience and surrender and relationship in their families. So because of that, They live on very limited understanding. And you know, they might be crying out for a piece of candy. Piece of candy. Got to have a piece of candy. And you're like, no, I don't want you to have candy tonight. And they're just like, I can't believe it. And they're throwing things at you and screaming at you. And all because of a little piece of candy. You said, no. And the reason why you held it back from them is that tonight was the night that you brought back a gallon of ice cream. And you just had on your heart a desire to let your kids eat until they couldn't eat anymore. And here they are crying about a piece of candy. And you have a whole gallon of ice cream that you were going to give it to them. But now because of their flipping out and they don't just trust you and they don't just say, hey, it's not good, don't take the piece of candy. Now they've worked themselves into a place of discipline and they're not getting the candy and you're eating the ice cream. But they don't understand. I wonder how often that's how you are with God. You're just fighting for whatever's in your hand. And God says, No, I've already put it in writing for you. I have something that's exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask. Trust me. The contrast between chapter 11 and 12, I believe God wants us to see, is that realm of self-effort or full surrender. Is it just what you can bring up and what you can build and what you can do, or are you willing to answer the call of faith and say, I'm willing to come out. I don't know what's up ahead for me. What nation? What land? Oh, I'm going to show you. Just get up and go. You'll never experience it until you take the step of faith. And that'll be our time next time. But God has so much for you. He has so much more than you can even see today. And in one side, chapter 11, you've got a group trying to build for themselves. And you know what? The Lord will let you do that. You want to build for yourself? Have at it. Do you want to get your best life now? Go ahead. But God has so much more for you. He has so much more than you could think or ask. He is ready to act on your behalf. With Abram, he doesn't want a name for himself. And you'll see that. Again, Abram, not a perfect man, a lot of mistakes. But you will see he is not interested in a name for himself. He is willing to walk by faith on every step along the way. A struggle today that in many of your lives that maybe comes and goes or is stagnant in your life is you are fighting right now between living for today or living for eternity. For some reason, you see them opposed to one another. And because living for today comes first, it makes it very hard to see anything eternally. It just makes it very hard to say, I don't know how I could ever get out of this. Yeah, but you're looking too close. You're blinded by the circumstance. You're just looking too close. God has victory for you. He has faith for you. He has money for you. He has resources for you. He has help for you. The Bible promises you that God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. God has healing for you. God has strength for your weakness. He has so much more, but when you seek to live for today, even bring it down a little bit more, just living to make a name for yourself. That's what the world, that is all the world's into. Get ahead. Make a name for yourself. Make sure no one ever forgets you. No one ever forgets you. You'll be immortal. No, you won't. It's a lie. And so you spend your whole life with self-effort, burning out and tired, never really surrendering to God. Instead of building God's kingdom, you're building your own little kingdom. And you might do a really good job. It may be the best little man's kingdom, the best little women's kingdom, better than your neighbor, better than what's on TikTok, better than what's on Instagram. It's a really nice little kingdom, but it's not eternal. It wasn't a life invested. You know, when you think about it, you and I have two addresses. We live in two places at the same time. We have a physical address. We have a body. We have a home. We have a life. We have a name. But we also have a heavenly address. We have been adopted into the family of God. We have a kingdom that God is building that's beyond. It's not built with man. It's God building it. And on the one hand, we're seated with Jesus in the heavenlies, and at the same time, we're dealing with things. So it's what we're praying about, the battle between the spirit and the flesh. We live it every day. This is exactly the thing. The flesh, build for yourself. Protect yourself. Don't die to yourself. Protect yourself. Make sure that you get everything you possibly can out of every single situation. And yet, the struggle comes is when we forget we're heavenly citizens and that this world You know, Jesus said it best. I want you to see it. Hold your place in Genesis. Would you go over to Matthew chapter 6? This is the battle with the Tower of Babel. This is it. This is Jesus would clear it all. Notice with me in Matthew 6, pick up when you get there in verse 19. I mean, this is it. And this applies to money. It applies to time. It applies to talents, all of it. It is the key, is one of the keys that God has for our lives. Notice he says in verse 19 of Matthew 6, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures. And what does your Bible say? On earth. Because this is what happens. Moth, rust, destroy, thieves break in and steal. Temporary, fragile. They don't last. They wear out. If somebody doesn't steal it, it wears out. And if it doesn't wear out, it gets all beat up and scratched. And if it doesn't get all beat up and scratched, a brand new one comes out 3 months later. And through clever marketing techniques, you think you need that one too. Yeah, let me just tell you, this has been a battle in my life when it comes to the iPhone. So let me just say, this is truth, straight truth. This was the first year I really felt like God said, don't get the new model. And I didn't. I'm still using the one-year-old model. Now, that may not be a big deal to you, but this is an area of my life. I don't really get into too many things, but very good, best of the best electronics is one of the things that I enjoy. And it's a tool. I use it. It's a tool. It would be like getting the brand new hammer or brand new whatever you get. Whatever your tool is, it's a tool. And I use it to its fullest extent. But I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about, and I can upgrade, and I've got ways, I've got a contract and everything. It won't cost me hardly anything. So it's not even a price thing. And those of you that know me know that I can be extremely frugal and get very good deals. That's not even the issue. I know how to save. That's not the issue. The issue is the heart. And I think I would have been able to get one without sinning. I think I would have been able to get one being a good steward. All of the marks that you would look at in your life as unto the Lord, except I had a hesitancy in my heart about it. And I felt like it was from the Lord. And what would it be like? I have to say, I even bought a case ahead of time for the new model. It's in my desk, sitting there unused. I was already prepping and getting ready. I got the new cover for it, a new case for it, and it's sitting there as the investment for me to learn how to obey God, because it's sitting there empty. Because I felt like a burden. Nobody told me this. This wasn't some marital argument. It wasn't anything like that. It was the Lord speaking to me about, Ed, this is just an area of your life. It's almost like he was testing me. So this is an area of your life. Can you live with the one-year-old model? Yes, Lord, I can live with it. Because I don't want to get bound to things. Nevertheless, I can be bound to things, but I don't want it more than I am. I don't want to lay up for myself treasures on earth. He says in verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He says, because there moth, rust doesn't destroy, and thieves can't break in and steal. And the key is that you learn that where your treasure is, your heart follows. Your heart, speaking of the seed of your emotions, speaking about your desires, speaking about your passions, speaking about your commitments. You wonder why you're drawn in certain areas. It's because that's where you've deposited your treasures. And you have a natural propensity to protect your treasures from rust, from moths, and from thieves. So that takes a lot of energy and effort to keep up with all that stuff. And as you deposit things in heaven, you just trust the Lord to protect them. And think about your deposits, some of the things you treasure the most, your kids. You got to commit them to the Lord. That's where God's going to protect them. That's where they won't be ripped off. God will never rip your kids off. He will strengthen them and protect them and guard them. The world, that's all in. They're all into ripping kids off, confusing kids, grooming kids, taking advantage of kids. And as parents and grandparents, we need to walk eyes wide open to make sure our kids, their hearts are deposited in the Lord. We were once again talking about children's ministry as we're moving in a new direction, new leadership, and just really just encouraged by the love and compassion and care that this couple has to take care of the time that we have with your kids, to deposit the word of God into them, to make it creative, to make it engaging, to build trust in them, to remind them that their identity is in Christ and that Jesus loves them. It's a tall order, but God is able to, he's going to make it happen through us, your kids. But you know, we can't do that more than you. Did you know that? We can't do that more than you. I can't parent your kids more than you. I can't accomplish in 90 minutes what you could accomplish in 2 hours or 20 minutes or a lifestyle of living for the Lord. You're the ones. And this battle, this struggle affects more than you think. I mean, if that's all you're into, you're going to get to the end of your career 30, 40 years later and you go, okay, now what? Things have changed. I remember my father. My father was a very simple man, educated into mid-high school, I think, and became a printer. That's what he did. He worked on setting up the type upside down and backwards so they could print newspaper pages. That was his career, and he did very well at it. And I remember as a kid thinking, I bought my first computer as a kid. My parents bought it for me. And eventually I got this program where you could type on the screen and it would print on a printer. And I wasn't the sharpest knife on the block, but I do remember humbly going to my dad and saying, Dad, you need to learn this because I think this is the way they're going to do it in the future. I don't know what that meant. We probably wouldn't have met because I would have bought stock in AOL and Apple a long time ago when it was penny. So it's not like I knew, but I did get a sense. I could see a little bit. It's always been how the Lord's used me. I can see a little bit, but man, not the big picture until it comes. But I remember talking to him. I remember my dad going, No, son, that's not going to happen. They will always have newspapers. Well, my dad's in heaven now. He's like, oh, no, that's not true. They're not. No, things change. And of course, it did change because the computer replaced my dad's job. And I wonder, my dad wasn't the kind of man that invested his whole life on. He learned a trade and he figured that would be the rest of his life. That's all it was. But even in simply learning a trade, he came to find out that that trade was easily replaced. And all the time they learned and all the experience they learned and everything, after he went from company to company that kept using that equipment until finally they replaced it, his last company said, I'm sorry, there's no need for you anymore. We are doing it with computers. And I wonder how many times we come to a realization very similarly where we spend our time, hey, we're going to build this for us. We're going to build this for us. And you might finish building it and stand back and go, look at this tower that we have built. Look what we have done. And then only come to find out that it was laid up on earth and it was ripped off and ruined. You see, wherever God has for you in this world, whatever career path he has you on, whatever trade he has you, listen, it is solely for the purposes of glorifying God. That is the value of your trade. It's not your paycheck. It's not your title, as important as those are. Those are important. You can use them. But your trade is to connect you with people for the glory of God so that you can invest. God has put you in different places so you can connect with other people and be used mightily by him.
We're partway through a study in Genesis chapter 11 on abounding grace, part of Pastor Ed Taylor's message, Self-Effort or Full Surrender. Now, if you joined us late or would just like to give this a second listen, go online to AboundingGraceRadio.com. Have you had the chance to download our app? This is another great way to take in the teaching of God's Word and download it for free by searching for Ed Taylor. We're also on OnePlace.com. We enjoy hearing from our listeners. Even just a quick hello telling us the station you listen to means a lot. Maybe you didn't realize it, but Pastor Ed reads them all. Let us know how we can pray for you, too. You can email us through the website at AboundingGraceRadio.com. And please remember that Abounding Grace is made possible through the support of our listeners. We look to the Lord for provision. When you give a donation of $25 or more to Abounding Grace, you're invited to request a copy of Warren Wiersbe's book on being a servant of God. This is a must-read for anyone who desires to serve the Lord and be involved in ministry. In it, he invites ministry leaders to listen in on 30 short armchair chats. That will no doubt encourage and inspire them for service. You might even want to go through this with your small group at church. To order a copy today, call 877-30-GRACE, 877-30-GRACE. Ordering resources like this is also super easy through our online store. Check it out at calvaryco.store. And be sure to join Pastor Ed Taylor next time for more teaching from Genesis. That's right here on Abounding Grace.
This is amazing grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church, Colorado, here in Aurora.